And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for RBLR Sports. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm here with someone who is rewatching the Rowdies game as we speak, someone who is taking in all of the notes, all of the highlights, in fact, the whole game. Carlos, is that correct?
James, I refuse to live in a world where my Tampa Bay Rowdies were swept by Loudoun United. therefore, I've decided I am escaping to an alternate universe and never leaving the world that I can create for myself in this magical machine here.
Wow. Well, everyone who is listening to this tomorrow when it comes out, you are missing the live show and you are missing the YouTube show, in which you can see how Carlos has taken himself out of our reality and into a better one. But Carlos, I hope that things are looking better there. I hope that Ecuador have won a World Cup on the men's and women's sides. And
oh, man,
I don't know what else.
It's dandy over here. It's dandy. Ecuador won the last Copa America. We beat Argentina in the penalty shootout. We actually beat Senegal in that last group stage game at the World Cup. And yeah, I mean, it's all looking good. Rowdies won the last three championships in a row. We're doing good. We're doing well in my alternate reality I've created here. Significantly better than this Loudoun game, I'll tell you what. But on a reel, I can't see anything. I hope I'm generally close enough to my microphone where
you are actually perfect. Can hear me.
Okay, perfect. I will be taking this off in a minute. It was a good bit for a minute, but now it's getting uncomfortable. James, how's it going in your world, in the very real world, where the Tampa Bay Rowdies did, in fact, lose their second game to Loudoun United?
Yeah, unfortunately, while you are in an alternate reality, I am stuck in the real world, and we do have to talk about the game this past weekend that the Rowdies played. In all honesty, I would rather talk about another soccer game that happened in Tampa Bay, but we're going to get to that later on in this episode. We can't talk about it in super great detail here. We will obviously do so on the RBLR Sun show, so please tune into that. But for the Rowdies, this past Saturday, as you mentioned, Carlos, we did lose at home to Loudoun United, meaning that we lost both games to Loudoun United in the 2024 regular season. Incredibly disappointing. Just also incredibly surprising, in all honesty, very weird stuff. And in our own standings, we all stand the same number of points because nobody predicted us to lose. Shocking to hear that. Carlos and Eureka stay tops on 10. I'm assuming in the alternate reality, Carlos has not only won everything in the soccer world, but he's also won in our prediction standings.
I actually just scored the game winner at the World Cup for Ecuador right now.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So,
well, there you go. Prediction standings aren't even necessary in this world, it sounds like.
Yeah, no, I know I'm going to win every game.
Well, speaking of that, we do have two games to preview coming up this week. We will have one on Wednesday, which is why we are recording on a Monday night, and why, if you are hearing this, it is out on a Tuesday as opposed to a Wednesday. So that first game will be on Wednesday versus Detroit City, and then there will be the second game that we will preview for Saturday versus the Miami FC. Both of those are at Al Lang Stadium, so I would just like to tell you, get to both games if you can. If you can only get to one, make sure you do that too, though. Make sure that you support the Rowdies. We have some team news to go over related to the Tampa Bay Rowdies, so please stay tuned for all of that. And of course, like and subscribe to us on YouTube, any major podcast platform, and follow RBLR Sports on social media such as Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, wherever, at RBLR Sports. Carlos, I would ask you to do the quick recap. I don't know if you're stuck fighting some type of soccer battle here.
I'll come back. I'll make my way back to reality, unfortunately. I'll come back to the real world. James, your Tampa Bay Rowdies and my Tampa Bay Rowdies, all of our Tampa Bay Rowdies, America's team lost 2-0 this past weekend, James, to none other than Loudoun United. I never thought it would come to a point where we'd be swept by Loudoun United, but here we are. What a random subplot in the world of USL. That's crazy.
Those actually a couple of people in Loudoun United jerseys that I saw at Al Lang, they must have been having a good night.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, Jordan Farr was in goal, unsurprisingly. Jordan Doherty was in front of him with Kleeman and Guillen making up that back three. Pacific Nyongabiro was outright, and Blake Bodley was in for most of the game. Lewis Hilton and Crisostomo were in the middle with Cal Jennings, Manuel Arteaga, and Joshua Perez playing up. The Rowdies dominated the first half somewhat. I would say we held the ball a lot more. We didn't create a ton of chances, but we were there. We were, you know, existing. But it would be all for naught, James. It would be Loudon that would score the first goal in this one. Hold on to that lead just until, you know, we make another silly little mistake. One of our better players on the season made an incredibly silly decision to go in hard on a tackle, go in, chase down a ball that Loudon's goalie seemed to kind of already be on top of, tackled the goalie in the process. In the moment, I was like, hell yeah, Blake, like, send a message, get the team riled up. But I forgot he got a yellow card earlier in the game, and there you go. One of the most incredibly dumb decisions I've seen from this team in a little bit. It's unfortunate. I really don't know how to describe that other than, like, silly. I don't know what was going through Blake Bodley's head. He's never really seemed to be a player that has serious mental mistakes like that on the field. But this was evidently one of them. And good Lord, I mean, making that tackle when you have a yellow card is beyond anything I've seen from Rowdy's players in a little bit. But here we are. We go down a player, and Loudon unsurprisingly scores another one. 2-0 to Loudon. Rowdy's have a couple more chances while we're down a player, but nothing significant. Rowdy's end up losing this game 2-0 to Loudon United, James. Loudon United, that, by the way, is not having, you know, a terrible season by their standards. They're in seventh place. Any seventh place team, when we're in third place and, you know, with the roster we have, I feel like we should be pulling a win against a team like Loudon in particular. It's a little frustrating. Well, it's more than frustrating to drop those points at home, drop points away to them when we've only lost to them one time in our 11 matches or something like that before these two games this year. It's frustrating, to say the least.
Very one time before this season, yep.
Yeah, very disappointing. Highly surprising by any, you know, metric. But here we are. The reality is we lost, and Louisville won again. If you're keeping track, they're still in first place. Standings update, 53 points from 23 games, 13 points ahead of your Rowdies, who now sit in third place still with 40 points. The good news about Louisville winning is that Charleston lost because they played each other. So Charleston still has 49 points with two extra games having been played. So that's nice. Still a possibility for second place. A significant missed opportunity to make up ground here, I would say, against Loudon. But whatever, I digress. Indy 11 still sits in fourth place, 5 points behind us with 35 points. Birmingham is in fifth with 35 points from 24 games. And Detroit City, our opponents on Wednesday, we'll talk about it in a little bit, 34 points from 23 games. They had a win this weekend for the first time in a little bit.
Yeah.
So good for them. I mean, bad timing for us, I guess, but whatever. Going out west, New Mexico State up top with 45 points. They are, oh my goodness, 7 points out of Sacramento, who seems to be falling behind slightly here. Memphis is still in the West Conference, if you believe it. They're in 38 points, 25 games played. Oakland, 36 points, sneaking up the table, 24 games played. And Colorado Springs, I think, is still my kind of storyline of the season. Colorado Springs having their incredible second half of the season, or, you know, I don't know, whatever point of the season we are. Incredible turnaround after having one of the worst starts they've had in a very long time. They're in fifth place, 32 points. And Las Vegas, another good story. They're tied sixth place, 32 points from 24 games played. Some fun little storylines out west if you want to keep an eye on, you know, fun teams. Colorado Springs, one of them. Las Vegas, another one. Interesting stuff going on over there for two teams that started very poorly, especially Colorado. And the team in Las Vegas, nobody really expected anything out of them, but certainly turning it around after a few miserable years for them. Good for them. I'm happy for them. James, let's go from being joyous and like jovial. Oh, that's so cute. Look at them. To talking about this game. Because I don't know what the hell happened. I really don't know what happened here in this one. I mean, I could tell you about the impact of that red card. We can talk about that in a minute. I could talk about that for a long time because I really don't know what happened. That was absurd. It took us out of the game. Whatever. I'll come back to that in a little bit. Let's talk about the first half. Let's just start there. This is against a team that I think you and I and Eureka thought we'd be winning against pretty easily. I think my official score prediction was 3-0 to the Rowdies. Ended up almost being 3-0 to Loudon.
Almost.
Yeah. But it would be Leggett in the 34th minute for Loudon. That puts him ahead 1-0. What the hell happened in that first half, James? They felt like we had a lot of the ball in the first half. Had a few decent chances. Joshua Perez had a good look at the beginning of the game, I remember. That could have changed, you know, the rest of the game if that shot got slotted in. But how did you see this half playing out? Because me seeing this from Ralph's Mob, standing behind Ralph's Mob section, taking it in as a fan. I was just kind of waiting, I felt, for that first Rowdy's goal to come. And I thought we'd just start pulling away. And we had the chances, I think, at the beginning, like we've mentioned a little bit here. But it just never happened. And it was loud, and that surprised us in that first half. How did you see that play out? Because in my head, it was just surprising, shock. I couldn't really describe it.
Yeah, I actually felt relatively similar to that. It was definitely not what I expected at any point over the course of the game. And I think that that was a little demonstrated when I got into the post-game press conference. I wanted to talk to Robbie Nielsen and kind of get his feeling for this one as well. I just asked him to tell me how he thought it went, and I felt pretty similarly to you for most of it. And then afterwards, I started off just extremely disappointed when the game ended and I walked into that press conference. So I was expecting it to go, I was expecting to hear a lot worse. But he told me that the first half, actually, he thought went pretty well, that we were doing playing the game that they wanted to play for the most part. Obviously, there was the goal that Loudon scored, and effectively, what Loudon was doing was just sitting back and kind of absorbing all the pressure that we were able to put on them, although they did have a lot more possession in the end of the first half there. I remember that stat was standing out in during the halftime when I went back and did my rewatch because, he told me that he was happy with the way things went over the first, not happy with the way things went over the first half, but he thought that the team was playing the way that they were supposed to. I'll put it that way. Sure. And like I said, I was just kind of, I didn't exactly understand because I went in and I was disappointed. So I did go back and I rewatched it, and I tend to agree for the most part. The Rowdies were playing the way that they mostly wanted to, and they were doing the things that they would generally like to do.
Yeah.
Like I was previously mentioning before I got stuck on my own tangent, I saw the game developing that the Rowdies were usually trying to play, and then Loudon United were able to sit back and absorb all of that pressure. They were able to sit back and just defend as much as they needed, as much as they really wanted to, because as many chances as we created, they really weren't high level chances. They weren't the chances that, especially according to FotMob, if you go and check that afterwards, did not end up as big chances, quote big unquote, chances. Big chances. We did leave the game with many of those, obviously, whereas Loudon United, I believe, had four. They were the ones who were handling their business, and they were the ones that were then, when they saw the opportunity, trying to look for very quick counters. So frequently that would be balls over the top of our back line when they sucked us in to their own half, and then they would have somebody chase onto that. Frequently it was Khalil El-Medkar, and then Wesley Leggett was the one up top, and Zach Ryan was the one up top, and Wesley Leggett was the one on the opposite side from Khalil El-Medkar. So I think El-Medkar was the biggest beneficiary of that in this first half. And I do not want this to sound particularly harsh, but I feel like it's going to just because of the way I'm saying it. Khalil El-Medkar is not a world beater. He is not a great player in the USL Championship. Damn. And I don't mean to, I'm trying not to sound harsh because Loudon United obviously has talent. They beat us this past weekend, and Zach Ryan, the fact that he's still at Loudon, honestly, is still surprising for probably anyone who follows this league. There is talent on this team. But if you're at Loudon United, it's generally because you are not one of the best players in the USL. I'm going to leave my summary of it at that, because if I keep going, it's going to get worse, I feel. But yeah, Khalil El-Medkar was made to look like a brilliant player in that first half. And again, he's just not up to the level that we, frankly, made him look out to be. Jordan Doherty was the one who was frequently tasked with marking him. But Jordan Doherty, several times, was trying to involve himself in the attack a lot more. And this is where it ultimately played against us, and it ultimately hurt us in the end, especially off of the goal that Loudon scored. He got caught a little bit too high on the wrong side of his man, Khalil El-Medkar. And they played the ball right in behind where Jordan Doherty would normally be sitting if he was sitting deeper. Yeah. And it was El-Medkar who ran down the ball. He put it across, and there was Wesley Leggett free in acres of space to score. And yeah, the problem that we had there, we were too high up, and that was the one counter out of however many it was. Let's just throw a number of 50 out there. That's not what it was, but out of however many in that first half, that was the one, obviously, that we were too high to get ourselves back in position and adequately defend. As for all of our play, all of our patterns, all of the crosses that ultimately came from either the right or the left side really amounted to nothing. And that's kind of the big deal there. If Loudoun United are going to decide their game plan is bunker and counter, a lot of teams have played that against us, and it comes down to the players to try and draw Loudoun United out of that position, because the one thing that Loudoun has in their back line, especially the players that we saw this past weekend, is a good deal of height. I believe Jacob Erlandson is 6'4". I believe Yanni Lehrman is 6'2". And I'm forgetting the name of the final player, but he's another one who's still over 6 feet, if I'm not mistaken. So there is height in the back line. They are going to be able to receive all of those crosses and probably clear them out. That's just the nature of the game. And while Arteaga is a very good player, even with his head, he's also not over 6 feet tall. Cal Jennings is not over 6 feet tall. I believe I might be mistaken. He might be 6'1", but he's also not known for scoring with his head. I will put that out there. Cal Jennings can score with his head. He's not particularly known for it. So if all we're going to do all game is cross the ball in, it probably is going to lead to a lot less than if we try to do other things. And we really didn't see much of a switch up over the course of the entire game. In fact, we didn't see any real plan B. I got started working on my preview for the game on Wednesday. Actually, that should already be out if you're listening to this. So go read that if you are sick of listening to us. But I mentioned that we just had plan A, and we didn't have plan B, C, or D lined up. It was just get the ball out wide and get across. And this is something I think, Carlos, you and I have seen in years past and games that didn't go well, and we complained about those at the same time. So we need, in these instances, Josh Perez or Danny Crisostomo. They are the players who frequently have done it before. They will drop a little bit deeper, let's say, to the circle on the halfway line, the center circle there, receive the ball from our defenders when we have it at the back, and try to draw a player out of Loudoun United's back line by pulling them onto Josh Perez or Danny Crisostomo's back while they receive the ball this way. They need to turn and find somebody who can then run into the space that was just vacated by the defender that should ideally be on their back. That is the back of Josh Perez or Danny Crisostomo. So we didn't really see much of that, and it led to all of the non-chances that Tampa Bay had. And as I said, this pattern really didn't change that much. The second half, which we're going to get to, we might as well just get to it now. The red card had a very big impact because obviously we were down a man. Then when we were down a man, that's when we brought on Damian Rivera. Damian Rivera is a player who's a lot more direct with the ball at his feet. He just likes to dribble it. That's why we love to use him as a super sub. Defenders are usually tired when they have to deal with him. Then suddenly you've got this guy who's going to be a mazy dribbler running at you. It's a lot harder to do in those instances. It's a lot harder to do without bringing him down, and he's earned at least one penalty, if not two. But these are all the things that Damian Rivera can bring to the game. Unfortunately, because we were down a man at the same time that we brought him on, it scuttled his ability to run at defenders and create something out of it. So, Carlos, let's get into the red card before I keep harping on, because I've been talking for a little while here. That's where I saw this game kind of fall apart for us. And then it really, really went downhill in a hurry.
Yeah. That was by the time we got to the red card, we were still only down 1-0, but we could have easily been down. We should have been down 2-0. If you remember, the second half started with a really, really open
look. They should have scored in 30 seconds.
Yeah, similar to the first half opportunity. We were way up. Like, I don't know what was going on.
I think that was Jordan Doherty getting caught out again, wasn't it?
So Jordan Doherty was certainly like way ahead of the ball when Loudoun is transitioning here. Guillen is forced to step up because our midfield is beyond the ball. So Loudoun has two guys already moving, like sprinting down the field as they transition back our way. Jordan Doherty is doing his best. Well, Jordan Doherty is kind of jogging back, actually, which is kind of disappointing to see as I look back now. Point being, even if he was sprinting back full speed, he was not catching up to this opportunity. So I'm looking at right now, I'm looking at the highlight again. Kleiman by himself, which is never a good idea for anybody to be by himself.
Yeah.
Kleiman's not had particularly great games in the last few games. So I'm not expecting Kleiman to do a ton here, 2-on-1. And then Zach Ryan finds himself with the ball, with the nearest player being, I can't even tell who this is. I'm not going to lie. The footage is grainy on my phone. But he has at least 8 feet of space between him and the next Rowdy's player. And then a good like 10 feet of space between him and Jordan Farr. So he's got plenty of space, takes like two touches, way too many, but still has enough time to take those two touches, set up a shot, and shoot one to a very, very open goal. It's really unfortunate because Jordan, like for them, Jordan Farr had nothing he could do. Zach Ryan should have absolutely had a second goal. It was fortunate for us because, I mean, that absolutely should have been a goal. Like, there's just no like competent. Oh, I'm sorry. That sounds really harsh to Zach Ryan. Zach Ryan's really good at soccer. I'm not going to lie. Like you said, he should be somewhere else. Any striker that's not on Loudoun United maybe puts that away. Do you know what I'm trying to say here?
I agree. Yeah.
This is absolutely a goal 100% of the time.
Yeah.
So Loudoun should have been up 2-0 by the time we got to the red card. We had like maybe one good look in that second half before that red card. Lewis Hilton had that free kick. I'm not sure if I'm going to count that because it's a free kick.
Right, yeah.
It was a great free kick, to be fair. But, yeah, I mean, it's still just a free kick. I mean, you have to really put those away perfectly. But let me talk about the Blake Bodley red card again, because this is the point where we lost the game. Like, we've been playing not great for most of the game, but at this point it was over. And like, you know me, I'm an optimist, James, right? Like I'm always the type of guy that's always gonna be like, oh, there's still an opportunity, whatever. We can do it, team. Like, let's come back, you know, like let's put it together and we can rally or whatever. It was over here. Like I told my dad, I'm like, I'm standing behind the Ralph's Mob section. I told him I'm gonna go grab a beer, and then went and sat up in the bleachers.
Yeah.
I was tired of standing up. I'm tired. After watching that Blake Bodley tackle, I'm like, I'm just not going to say what I want to say. I'm going to go stand up there or sit upstairs in the bleachers, get a better view, chill, whatever. Just relax. Because that Blake Bodley tackle was one of the most insane things I've seen from a Rowdy's player in recent time. What the hell are you thinking? Like, this is insane, because this is like one of the better players for this squad this entire year. Maybe, like, with the exception of, you know, our goal scoring machines up top, I would argue probably the best player the squad had, like, when he's been
certainly
healthy,
our best attacking player.
Yeah, I mean, truly, like, incredible form. Like, he's been just great, especially like when he's coming, like, even considering he's coming back from injury, he's been solid, and it's not going to take long for him to get back to, like, sorry, that top form he was in. But yeah, I don't know what he was thinking. I totally forgot, like, to put it bluntly. I totally forgot he had a yellow card already. And like I said, in the moment,
honestly, maybe he did too or something. Like,
you think so? It's possible.
I don't think so, but I'm trying to give him some sort of benefit here.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those silly yellow cards I remember in that first half. It was like arguably not a yellow card. Arguably
that one was a lot weaker, I thought.
Yeah, it was probably not a yellow card, if I'm remembering the foul right. Point being, I forgot it was a yellow, but if you're the professional soccer player on the field and they gave you the yellow, I don't think I'll give him that excuse. James, it's possible. It's possible. Heat of the moment. Like, I don't know. You're a little pissed off because it's losing Loudoun 60 minutes into the game. But yeah, I mean, at no point did my friend Hugo Ferreau look like he was not getting to that ball.
Yeah.
Like, very, very safely and comfortably, even after that little hesitation he had. And Blake Bodley sprints in. I do think Hugo Ferreau, by the way, kind of like slightly leans into it as he sees Blake Bodley coming in. But yeah, I mean, even if Blake like tries to like jump out of the way, like he was in way too deep. Hugo definitely jumps into it a little bit, but like it doesn't matter. Like, it was always going to be a yellow card.
Yeah,
at that point. And that was, we lost right there. That's when we lost the game. There is no reason you should be making that tackle. I'm sorry, Blake. Like, you had such a, I'm saying this like I'm speaking to him right now. I don't know if he listens to this podcast, but if you do, man, like, you've been great this year, man. Like, actually insane, you know, world beater type of wing back this year. But that was absurd. Like, man, like, there was no need for that. And at that point, like, we hadn't been playing particularly great, like I've been saying, James, but there was still always like a really good opportunity, a really good chance that we come back, because it's allowed in, and we're
gonna get something.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna have at least more than a few more chances. There's still another half hour left in the game. These kids are gonna get tired. You're gonna bring in Damian Rivera, right? You're gonna bring in these super subs that come in and make differences. Nate Worth has had great games, obviously, recently, thinking about that game winner against Charleston. Hell, I mean, the kid, Endry Mustali, 6'4", giant kid, yeah, of a striker, comes in and plays well, I think, actually, for his limited minutes, down a man. Hell, I mean, he might have came in and made a difference if we were tied still, or sorry, if we had the same amount of players on the field still. I mean, there's a lot of things change immediately when you go down a player. You're down a goal, obviously. It's going to be a lot harder to come back. It's a lot harder to create opportunities, obviously, when you're down a player, let alone, like, defend, right? Loudon, obviously, takes advantage of that. They score again in the 70th minute, like, 10 minutes later or so. So, yeah, it should have been Loudon 3-0, absolutely. Like, the scoreline was probably unfair to them. Like, they should have won by more. And I think that's really unfortunate. We could point to that Cal Jennings offsides goal as well, by the way.
That was tight. That was a very tight call.
It was very close. It's really hard to see on the broadcast, so I can't even say, like, for sure, like, the ref, you got it wrong, but it was very close. Either way, discounting that goal, let's say it actually was offsides, like, there's no reason we still should not have pulled this one back.
Yeah.
There's no reason why there shouldn't have been more chances in the attack.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, I think, the most disappointing part, was that there just wasn't a lot going for us against Loudon.
Yeah.
And that sucks, because to put more bluntly what you were trying to say earlier, Loudon isn't good at soccer, and the players aren't particularly great. I'm sorry. It's the reality of it. They're good players tend to leave because
they're not the rowdy level.
Exactly. And again, they're good players, like, leave because it's Loudon and they have, you know, obviously better opportunities somewhere else. And Loudon is still in practice, it seems, to be a farm team for DC United. Yeah. So the good players leave. They're not there. Like, this, it's frustrating, man. Like, it really is. But again, to their credit, they're in like seventh or eighth place. What did I just say? Seventh place? Whatever. Seventh. Yeah.
They jumped out of eighth place with this win.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. We're trashing them a lot here. But maybe there's a storyline to talk about. Wow, like, Loudon, the, you know, what a great story. They're coming back. Like, I don't know. I mean, it'd be more interesting if it wasn't them that beat the Rowdies right now, you know? Like, I'm sure, like, the Colorado Springs storyline is kind of interesting to me because they didn't just beat the Rowdies, you know what I'm saying? But point being, this sucks. and we lost the game on that red card. That's what I was trying to say. Like, there was no coming back from that. Even with the players we had, with the stoutness of Loudon's back line and their stinginess in the midfield, like, they were doing their game plan just about to perfection. And it was really frustrating. So there's no way for us to come back down a player. Despite the world beaters that we can bring in, like Damian Rivera, it's a super sub, incredible super sub. Hard to do much when you're down a player. And Loudon's defending up and then.
I think that you could really see it from the players too. There was never a change in the momentum. Sorry, not the momentum. There was never a change in the intensity. There was never a switch where they were like, you know, guys, we got, what, 15, 10 minutes left. We need to start going. Eventually, in games where it's like, this is do or die, you're going to see like opportunities flying in, even if they're not good chances. They're just going to start whipping crosses into the box or whatever. They're going to send, like, think about the U.S. Open Cup game we had against Dallas and how the way that we acted in the last 20, 10, 5 minutes of that game. Think about the way that Birmingham Legion played against us in the prior Open Cup game, where they were down 4-0. They start coming back, and then it's 10 minutes left, and they're like, we are in this. And then there's whatever, 10 minutes of stoppage time. I don't remember what it was, but they're like, we're still in this. Let's keep. There was never a switch. There was never a change in our intensity. And that's also disappointing. Every point counts at this stage of the season. We are 9 points behind Charleston, only 2 games in hand. Obviously, one of those will be made up on Wednesday, and we're going to get to that soon. But yeah, I was definitely disappointed in that. And it did come down to us being down a player. I guess that the ones that were on the field were like, well, this is how this night is going to go. And that's unfortunate for everyone involved. So, Carlos, I don't know if we have anything more to hit here. I think we should just move on to the man of the match, unless there's anything else to go through, because we've both talked about how disappointing it was, and I for all the different reasons. And I just want to hit on this last bit. We got a comment on Instagram. So thank you for joining us there. JoeyP7169. No excuse for the boys except that they couldn't finish in front of goal. Had 4 misses in front of the boys just second half. You're exactly right. There's really no excuse. It was just that we weren't creating chances that were the proper type of chances, because they really didn't get Loudon out of their own box. If you don't get 3 center backs out of the box, along with Hugo Farou, these are very tall, very big bodies. If you can't move them out of the box, the chances that we have are not going to be good enough. And that's why we ultimately didn't take anything that we created, because it wasn't top level chances. And that's why we had 2 big chances, according to Fat Mob, and Loudon had 4. Yeah. Somehow only had their 2 goals. But yeah, just wanted to hit on that. Carlos, and you got anything more before we do man of the match?
Evidently, this is going to be really obvious, but when you don't have a ton of chances, you want to finish the few you do.
Yeah.
We weren't doing that either. Again, Arteaga and Kyle Jennings have had like very good seasons by all metrics, right? Goals are there. I mean, just generally speaking as a team, finishing hasn't seemed to be at a top level in this one, maybe in the last few games. Just not a ton of chances in general being created, but even when we do get in front of goal, I feel like there's opportunities being missed. And I think that's a good point to just mention in there, because I feel like we spent a lot of time talking about kind of like chance creation in general. Maybe not a ton of time talking about maybe we could be finishing the few we do have a little bit better.
There was definitely lacking execution and as well as quality.
Yeah. I genuinely, and I think this will go into my man of the match. Let's jump into that. I'll give you mine really quickly here. So we can jump into these next 2 games. My man of the match is none other than Endre Mustali. And I'm throwing this in there because genuinely he might have had the best look in the second half. He had a header, and kid 6'4", had to like tower over some, you know, adult men, Loudon defenders, and get over them to even have a chance. Genuinely could have put that one away in like the 80th minute or so, if I'm getting that right. Somewhat brought the team back into it. He'd still be down a goal, still down a player. But mostly just for getting his professional debut. That's why I'm throwing that in there right now.
He went out there and he was actually trying hard in those moments.
Yeah. I wanted to throw, that's kind of why I wanted to highlight him a little bit. Like this kid looks good. Like, and we haven't talked about him yet, like on this pod, cause, wasn't announced till after the last podcast we did.
Yeah.
Academy kid that skipped the academy part of his career, at least like, you know, academy contract with the Rowdies, full-time professional player, looks like an incredible talent, great potential. And kind of like super, I had never heard of his name. I'd never, you know, seen anything about him. Just popped up and said, we signed him. And I was like, oh, okay. He's 6'4". Look him up if you have a minute. Endre Mustali. He's got a great like highlight tape on Google, from his academy stuff with TBU. Some really great stuff in there, and moves like he moves as if he was like 5'10", if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Moves really, really well. I mean, this kid looks good. So keep an eye on him, obviously, if you're a Rowdies fan, because he could get genuine significant minutes, contribute significantly with his size. There's a real role for him in this attack, just based off his size alone, his mobility. There's a serious role for him to come in later in games, I think, and make an actual serious impact, which is really cool, again, for a 17-year-old to be able to do that. We can talk about, you know, the trend of the Rowdies going after the youth as a broader thing in a later podcast episode if we want. For now, having three 17-year-olds and all of them being, based on what I'm seeing, pretty solid contributors.
Yeah.
Potential to be really solid, even bigger contributors is really great. And this kid looks to be among, you know, some of the best potential young talent in this league. And I'm making a pretty big claim just based off a few minutes of film and watching how he played on Saturday. But genuinely, this kid looks good. So keep an eye on him. Congrats to him for making his pro debut. There's a reason why he went pro and skipped the college part. It's probably because he's got really good potential and he's really good. And that was evident on Saturday. So really, really excited to see him get some minutes, probably against Miami. We'll talk about that later on. But James, sorry, that was my long man of the match shout. Wanted to give this kid a shout out. What about you?
Yeah, well, I am going for a younger player, although it is not one of the 17-year-olds. It is the aforementioned Damian Rivera. I think that he came on and he was another one, just like Andre Mustali, who went out there and said, you know, we're down 2-0. Well, he didn't come on at that point, but it was quickly afterwards that we were down 2-0. So Damian Rivera was one of the few players out there who was still trying and still battling and still putting in the effort that fans expect, let's say, the effort that fans expect of the Rowdies players when they're out there and when they're down 2 goals to Loudoun United. He was getting himself to the end line over and over, trying to cut balls back to players who were in open positions. Frequently, it was trying to cut balls back to Andre Mustali. They were the ones who were putting in the most energy and effort that I saw out there. Also, I will note, the other 17-year-old that played, Nate Worth, was a good contributor in terms of his actual intensity levels. So maybe that's just got something to do with the youth, but they all contributed very well, I think, to an effort to get us back into this game. Unfortunately, obviously, it did not work out, but yeah. It's not down to them.
Nate Worth, I don't know if you saw that picture, by the way. The Rowdies tweeted out a picture of him doing like a jersey exchange with some kid from Loudoun. I don't know if they had some relation to each other or whatever, but just like a wholesome jersey swap. Loudoun kid smiling. He's like, you know, he's got Nate Worth jersey. Nate's standing there and it's supposed to be like a wholesome post, but Nate looks like pissed off.
Yeah.
This kid's a competitor. And I love to see that. I mean, if I saw one, you know, this kid like smiling, like, oh, like everything's dandy and good after dropping points like that to Loudoun. I feel like this kid's a competitor. And these kids in general, man, like I'm really happy with what we've been doing. Because they're not just, these aren't like I've jokingly called them. It's not like internships, right? This is the real stuff, and they're contributing. Damian Rivera is a part of that, man. He looks really good, and he's genuinely been one of the best super subs off this team. It's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, we do have the two previews, but before we get into that, I just want to say best of the Bay. Let's hit on that real fast. We are proud, of course, to be nominated for a third year in a row for Creative Loafing's Best of the Bay in the podcast section, naturally. We would like to win the best podcast for Creative Loafing's Best of the Bay, and we need your help if you are so inclined. There is a link in the description, or you can check out the pinned tweet at rblrsports.com. If you create an account with Creative Loafing, then you can go and vote literally every single day until it closes. So please help us out with that. I forget exactly when it closes. Eureka will help me out, I'm sure, very quickly and let me know. But we need you to vote for us in the meantime. It will be the end of the month. Thank you, Eureka. He was very quick, just as I expected him to be. All right. So please vote for us every day. Let's jump into the previews. Carlos, let's get started on Wednesday against Detroit City. If you're listening to this when it comes out on Tuesday, it will be tomorrow evening. Get to Al Lang Stadium.
If you're listening to this live, because you're cool as hell, it's in 2 days. Your Tampa Bay Rowdies, 7:30 p.m. You got a date with Detroit City. Does that sound familiar? It should, because we played them like, what, 4 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Very recently. Yeah, we got them again. They're in St. Pete. It's still the same team. so there's not much new to say about them. That being said, they did actually get a win recently. So that's good for them. They haven't been in great form before that, but it was actually in their last game that they finally seemed to pull another win out of their bag. It was against Birmingham down in Atlanta. So not the easiest of opponents either, James. A solid win. They won 1-0, went down there, pulled off that win. But before that, they had gone like 5-6 games winless.
Yeah.
It's been pretty spotty for them. So this is a team that's kind of a wild card right now for me. Plenty of talent that we've talked a lot about. We'll mention a few of them here. But just hasn't really been clicking. Plenty of injuries as well. Nate Steinwasser might be one of them, by the way. So Carlos Saldana could start in net. On their back line is Brett Levis, likely a left back, Stephen Carroll, Devin Amumensa, and Matt Sheldon at right back. Rhys Williams, James Murphy, Maxi Rodriguez, keep an eye on Maxi. And Connor Rutz should start behind Ben Morris and Jaciel Sedano. And Diop, by the way, I started a lot in the midfield. Maxi has 7 goals, still their leading goal scorer, weirdly enough. A guy that's not really been known as a goal scorer in this league from that central midfield spot, but has seemed to have been carrying their attack with 7 goals. Morris has 4. Morris also has 4 assists, and Maxi has 3 assists. So Morris and Maxi Rodriguez, the guys to keep an eye on, of course. Elvis Amo is high in the stats, by the way. And Morris is certainly a big chance creator for this team. Elvis Amo, this guy always seems to be the guy that gives us problems whenever he plays against us.
It's a name that a lot of us will remember.
Yeah, certainly keep an eye on him. Certainly gave us problems in that Detroit game, in a game that we absolutely should have won when they went down a man. Certainly should have picked up an easy win against Hartford when he was playing for Hartford last season, and they came in here with half of a team and a goalie that an emergency goalie. That Hartford team was scrappily put together literally like a day before the game, and Elvis Amo is the reason why. It was a much, much tougher game than it should have been. So this guy's a baller. He puts his head down and plays, scores goals. Hasn't had a ton of goals this year, but the talent is there, and he can just kind of turn it on at random times. So keep an eye on this guy. Expect long balls to him from Carroll and Mumensa. And Maxi Rodriguez always going to rip a shot or two from outside the box. Okay, that being said, enough talent to give us problems. A team that's not in great form. Despite what it feels like, your Tampa Bay Rowdies are in significantly much better form than this team. Did drop this game to Loudoun, obviously. In the bigger picture, things are much better than most other teams in this league for the Rowdies. I think we've been spoiled. We have very high expectations, and probably justifiably so with the roster we have. That being said, we're a better team than Detroit. We're still in a better run of form than Detroit. I feel pretty good about this game. Blake Bodley will be out, so we'll have to see who slots in that left wing back side. We have heard word that the Rowdies are looking to go pick up a player to reinforce the squad. Maybe it's on that left side. James, we saw a player over the weekend at Al Lang Stadium, a guy by the name of Ryan Spalding.
We did see him there.
Yeah, we saw him walking around the stadium. Coincidentally, he plays on that left side. I don't know. Keep an eye on that. He was walking around the stadium. Maybe he's just on break. Maybe he's going back to his team soon enough. But yeah, I mean, he was just, you know, lollygagging around the stadium in his shirt and everything, saying hi to fans. Like, oh, shoot, that's Ryan Spalding. People were saying hi. Spalding Sanity, as I like to call him.
Keep an eye on him. It would be nice to recreate that.
Yeah, maybe we have another run with him. Who knows? We have Damon Rivera down here already, New England loanee.
That's true.
Bring back another. So yeah, I mean, who knows what will happen with that left side. It's pretty thin in the depth chart right now without Blake Bodley on that left side. So I mean, Eddie Manjoma maybe moves out there. I don't know. It'd be weird. But they'd be able to scrap together a team that still should beat this Detroit team, in my opinion, James. Would you agree?
I would generally agree. I think that this is a team that will rely on being defensively stout, much like Loudoun were this past week, of course. And they will try to probably find long balls when and where they can from Stephen Carroll and Devin Amumensa, the two center backs. They will play the ball up to Ben Morris, who is their English number 9. He plays as a striker, but he actually is the man who has the most chances created on this team. That's usually not the case. They are usually the finisher, the number 9. So you should expect him to pretty much involve himself in the play that leads up to the goal. I don't know if he's got 4 assists, so that's not a ton, but I don't think Detroit City actually has a reputation this season for scoring a ton of goals in general. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
So Ben Morris will be the player that we need to shut down, as it were. But the other thing that we can do, of course, is when we're out of possession, we can try to put them under pressure and press and win the ball in good positions, try to score that way. Maybe something that could have worked a little bit better against Loudoun United. I know that we did press when out of possession, but I don't know that it certainly didn't lead to any chances. So I would like to see that a little bit better here. Carlos, let's do our predictions for this one, and then we will talk about the next preview really quickly. I'll let you start this.
Yeah, kind of have to do these sort of rapid fire. There's two games in a week. That's kind of fun. But yeah, I'm going to say we come out of here with a 1-0 win. Yeah, I think we're
closer still than you usually call it.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're reeling a little bit. I think this team might have a confidence hit recently with this loss. Maybe not. Playing at home, which is always a bit easier. And I don't know. I don't think this Detroit team has the roster or the run of form or the talent to really, like, give us too much of a headache. That being said, we just lost to Loudoun United at home, right, 2-0 with a red card, and we don't have a left wing back at the moment, really, right? So I don't know. I mean, we're gonna play the same system we play. We're gonna have to slot someone in over there. Maybe it's someone new. But like, yeah, I think it's gonna be a win. I just think it's gonna be a little close, a little scrappy. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, there's more than a few yellow cards in this one. It feels like a scrappy game. Wednesday night, right?
Yeah.
A weird one. Our only Wednesday home game of the year, by the way. The rest are gonna be all Saturdays. I'll be there. You should too. After work, come in your work clothes, you know, post-work happy hour at the stadium. Why not?
Or wear rowdy stuff to work.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what, $3 beers, $3 hot dogs at the game. So get dinner over there. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. We'll come out of here with a win, James, but it's going to be close. It's going to be a scrappy one. Yeah, this won't be a game for big minutes for the young kids. That'll be the Miami game. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, 1-0 win, scrappy win. Cal Jennings doesn't get rotated much or anything. He's going to need to pull off, you know, a silly little Cal Jennings run and finish against this team.
Yeah, I could see this being a scrappy game. But just as you said, I could see this being a very good night for a beer and hot dog dinner. Check it out, folks. It sounds great to me, in all honesty.
$3.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I am also going to predict a win for this one, a 2-1 win, while Eureka is going to predict a 2-0 win. So he actually has the greatest margin of win, of victory for us. And we can all hope that he's right in the meantime.
Absolutely.
I will take the preview for Saturday. So as we said, there is the Wednesday game. There is the one then on Saturday, also at Al Lang, the Rowdies host, the Miami at 7:30. So you should be at that one too. If you can only be at one, again, make sure that you get to that one. Sadly, this team are really not posing any threats this season. The Miami have 8 losses in a row. They are, in fact, winless since April. That is a run 16. Of 16 games. 16 games that they have not won. Having healthy rivalries is important in the USL. I really think that it's unfortunate what's happening with this club down there. At the same time, it is worth noting that I guess their form doesn't really impact that many fans. That's unfortunate, but it is the case. It is another factor in why this is not the most healthy of rivalries. I would really like for the Rowdies to have a healthy rivalry down south. The Fort Lauderdale Strikers, Tampa Bay Rowdies, for instance. That's a great old time derby, but we don't have anything of that sort right now. And I hope that in the future it does kind of get to that way. I think because the Miami have done so poorly this season, they are kind of going back and forth between their goalkeepers. The last two games, Kadeem and Jay has started in net, although we might see Daniel Gagliardi too. I don't know. I don't know which of those it'll be, Gagliardi or Njay. I couldn't tell you. We will just have to wait and see. They recently sold a center back, so we are likely to see a back three of Alejandro Mitrano, Dalton Knutsen, and Nicholas Cardona. They will sit behind Junior Palacios as the kind of left wing back, Manuel Bota and Gabriel Cabral in the center, and Roberto Molina as the right wing back. Up top, we should expect to see Alan Gavilanes, Frank Lopez, and Rocco Genzano. If you remember back to our last game against them, Alan Gavilanes and Rocco Genzano were the two players really of note, they were the two players of worth on the team as far as I saw it, and they actually did cause us quite a few problems, so just remember that when we're out there. I hate using this phrase because I did it multiple times at the beginning of the season, and when I did, we would go out and draw or, in fact, lose games. But regardless, this is simply must win. Both of these games, we really want 3 points. This one, if we do not win this game, there is something wrong because this is a very bad team right now. For all of the reasons that we've just gone over, I hope that there will be more investment in this team going forward. But right now, it is very bad. And if we cannot win this game, that is 3 points that we have lost. That is what that's what that means. 3 points lost. And I cannot expect that the fan base will react well to that. So come on, let's win this game. No draws. Their last game was 1-1 until the 80th minute, and it finished 5-1, a loss for Miami, a win for Memphis. Please, let's win this one. Carlos,
I will literally jump into the bay and we'll record it and put it on Twitter.
All right, you and I will jump into the bay if this is not a win.
Whoa, if it's not a win? Okay. James and I will jump into the bay. I'm sure there's a safe place to jump from next to the stadium. If we don't win this game, I'll bring my bathing suit just in case. I don't think that'll happen. I'm not going to lie. I think we win this game very comfortably. It should be 3-0. I'm going to say it's 2-0, though.
Okay.
It's going to be my official prediction. It's going to be a comfortable 2-0 win. Yeah, I hope Gagliardi's in net, man. So you could like just whiff a ball like he did when we played down in Miami. Man, that's a goofy guy. In DA, their other goalie, he's not good at soccer either. I'm not gonna lie. He played better when we played him than Gagliardi, but it was a really low bar. Yeah. I'm sorry, like that's really mean, but like, man, like if we just pepper the net enough, like. Like there should be a few goals in there. Lewis Hilton could get a couple long range bangers if he wants in this one.
Yeah.
Jordan Doherty could get his long awaited goal from the back line. This is a game where it's highly possible that the young kids get more minutes later in the game when we're up 2-0.
I'm hopeful.
Yeah. My hopeful prediction is like 4-0. I'm gonna say it's 2-0, but my hopeful prediction is 2-0 by halftime, right? Then Andrew Musali and Christian Ortiz take
there
over
we go.
Front two, right? And then both of them get a goal. Yeah, this is a game for the kids to get a goal. Like, actually, yeah, like they will get significant minutes is my prediction. But we went 2-0 is my realistic prediction. Just based on vibes, I don't know. We should win by more, but that's where we're at right now. This team, like, oh my goodness, James, this is like probably the worst soccer team I've seen play professional soccer in a while. Like 16 games winless,
yeah,
is absurd. In a league where there's other teams that should not be like that much further ahead of them in terms of talent. Like they lost to El Paso. Like El Paso sucks too. You know, they went over there and lost. Man, I don't know. I feel really bad for them. I'm not gonna lie. It's all David Beckham's fault if you think about it. If you zoom out far enough, it's all Don Garber's fault. But I digress, and I won't give my MLS rant. Don Garber killed the Miami FC.
There you go.
Yeah. Sorry. Last thing. Shout out Pitbull Stadium. That's my favorite thing in the world. I love that they play at Pitbull Stadium. Okay, I'm sorry. Take it away. What's your prediction?
Well, my prediction is a 3-0 win. Eureka's is a 4-1 win. And Eureka, please make sure that Carlos and I only have to do our promise or only remember our promise if it isn't something that comes back to bite us. Don't put it out on Twitter unless the Miami have lost this game and we have won. And then we won't have to jump in the bay because otherwise everyone will want us to do that. And maybe that'll get us more clout, but I'm not sure I want to do it.
This isn't live, right? Like, we could just cut this part out at the end of the day, right? Like,
as far as I'm aware, I haven't been told that this is live. And if it is, then we're going to ignore that. Ignore the Instagram comment that we've already gone through.
Yeah. Then it's an AI bot that the government is putting in here, James. Let's zoom out. Let's start doing conspiracy theories. How about that? Let's make this a conspiracy theory podcast. Here's my conspiracy about Don Garber.
I was waiting for Don killing Garber.
Miami FC. What else did he do? Don Garber literally killed the Austin Aztecs.
I heard Don Garber also killed Fidel Castro.
Yeah, Don Garber, he was there, man. This we could blame a lot on him. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. Okay. Well, shout out to Don. Hope he's doing all right. Yeah. What's going on here? Let's move on from our Don Garber conspiracy theories before we.
All right. Let's do our extra time segment, and I guess this could or could not lead well into the next segment, but. The Rowdies announced that they will host their fourth annual 9/11 Memorial Stair Climb. Their fourth ever 9/11 Memorial Stair Climb includes invites first responders, active military members, and veterans from the Tampa Bay area to climb 2,200 stairs in remembrance of the brave men and women who lost their lives on September 11, 2001. So there you go. That actually sounds like a pretty cool thing. If it weren't on a Wednesday, I would possibly consider it, but I guess September 11th falls on a Wednesday this year, and they are doing it on that day. So that is when it will be. If you would like to sign up, I believe that it will be on all of the Rowdy socials. So obviously check it out there. And there will be, here we go. Crisis Center of Tampa Bay will be on site to provide additional resources to anyone attending the event. So honestly, very nice charity stuff from the Rowdies. And like I said, it's unfortunate that I can't take part, but I will not be able to. Carlos, I don't know about you, but we have other stuff to go through related to the Rowdies as well here.
Yeah. Some kid, they signed a guy who plays soccer. He's 17. His name's Endre Mustali. One letter off from Endrick. Coincidence? I don't know. He's really good at soccer. He's 6'4". Again, look at his highlight tape online. Look up Endre Mustali and just take a look at his college recruiting page. This kid can ball. And he because of his height, he genuinely he is playing kids. Obviously he's a kid himself, but the kids look like they're 10 against him because he's a monster and he moves so well. This kid genuinely has so much potential. Keep an eye on him. Obviously he played, obviously he was my man of the match. Very, very good kid, good player. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of fun to have a Christian Ortiz, Endre Mustali, top front two. I feel like that could be fun. Yeah. I wish we had more Open Cup games against slower league teams. We can get them more minutes. But point being, this kid's gonna be good. And I genuinely think, I know I say this a lot, but actually he's gonna be a contributor on this team this year. Comes in late games, knocks a couple goals in. I actually feel like he can get a few goals this season. Just based on what I saw from him this past week. Really, really good stuff. Speaking of kids that came from the Rowdies, James, another kid is out in Germany. His name is Santiago Castaneda. He moved to Paderborn in the second Bundesliga. If you haven't seen that on Twitter, talked about that on Rowdy's Twitter a little bit. He scored this weekend, actually, and helped his team move on to the second round of the DFB Pokal, or as I like to call it, the German U.S. Open Cup. So he's doing well over there. I'm glad he is getting minutes. It's great stuff. It's great, Rowdy's clout to have a kid over there getting significant minutes, and on a team that is pretty big over there and scoring. So good for him. That's awesome. James, you were at another soccer game in Tampa this past weekend, not on Saturday, but yesterday as we record this live on a Sunday. Tell me about that.
Yes. Yeah, so the Tampa Bay Sun began their first ever season, their inaugural season, that is, with a 1-1 draw against Dallas Trinity. I will say I was disappointed that it was a 1-1 draw, but in all honesty, Dallas looks to be the other really good potential team in this USL Super League, as far as I'm aware. We will see how everything shakes out, of course, but they do seem to be the other team outside of the Tampa Bay Sun that has a good amount of talent on it. The Trinity were the better team in the first half, while the Sun were developing themselves and getting into the game. Second half, we were much better. I think we were much better organized, and that is when we scored the equalizer. I was hoping that we were going to get a late winner. Unfortunately, that doesn't actually happen as frequently as all of the highlight reels that we see on YouTube would lead us to believe. But regardless, the game was literally crazy. It was sold out. It was packed. Every single aspect of the stadium was packed. The team arrived to the stadium on a water taxi, and then the water taxi came and picked people up from Armature Works and took them to the stadium. You could also cross the river via the bridge from Armature Works to Blake High School. That is what my wife and I did, and we didn't want to wait in the line, but it was a great time. Regardless, there was so much atmosphere. We were standing in the supporters section. There were a bunch of Rowdies people there. There were a bunch of celebrities there. I didn't know all of these celebrities, but the Bucks quarterback was there. A Rowdies pitcher was there. A Rays pitcher. I don't know if the Rowdies have any pitchers or part-time. They used to play baseball, but a pitcher was there. Quarterback was there. There were former U.S. men's national team players that were there. The Whoa. USL Super League president, she was there. Amanda Vandervoort was banging on the drums. I guess we have her endorsement then. Christina Uncle, the CEO of the team, she was there. She was also banging on the drums. It was legitimately one of the cooler games I think I've ever been to. It just would have had that tiny cherry on top if we had won the game. But it was so great. And I would recommend everybody who can go to a Sun game in the future, please do so. We will definitely get our first win coming up very shortly, hopefully this Saturday. And if you want more preview related to the Tampa Bay Sun, if you want a review of this game that actually goes into depth of how everything went, check out Liz and Tom covering the Sun for RBLR Sports.
Yeah. You heard about the fence gang outside of Al Lang Stadium. Let me introduce you to the bridge gang.
That's right.
It's spotted. And that bridge connecting that side of the river to downtown Tampa. It's kind of fun. Saw pictures of like four or five people up there standing on the bridge watching the game up there. Yeah, that's a cool scene. I'm picturing a world where the Sun make the final and every seat sold out and the bridge is shoulder to shoulder. And oh my goodness, there's a scene there. The parking garage right there. Yeah, good stuff. Tampa Bay Sun. Two stadiums, two waterfronts, two soccer teams. It's fun. Really great stuff in Tampa Bay. James, I'm excited. Something to keep an eye on there. And definitely tune in to RBLR Sun for all the Tampa Bay Sun specific coverage. So much fun.
And if you would like to get that, listeners, you can do so by following RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere at RBLR Sports. You can see not only what Carlos and I talk about, but what they talk about when they cover the Sun, what they talk about when they cover the Rays, the Bucks, and the Lightning. We do it all, folks. So please check us out on social media. Thank you, listeners, for listening to us. If you would like to get at me, I am mostly on Twitter. And I am at RBLR James K. You can also use the hashtag AskRBLR, or you can give us comments during our live shows, before, afterward, whatever. Carlos, what about you? Where can people get at you?
At CarlosTPA10. Come join the Twitter account everybody's raving about. Very well reviewed. A picture of Ryan Spalding giving everyone a thumbs up at the stadium. He looks happy to be in Tampa Bay.
Is this breaking from RBLR? Are we getting our,
let's just marinate about how happy Ryan Spalding looked in Al Lang Stadium on my Twitter account at CarlosTPA10. And as always, hashtag AskRBLR for comments. There were some messages, some comments, some questions. Like, subscribe to all the podcasts, like and subscribe to our podcast on all of the platforms. Literally every
podcast. Probably not all of the podcasts.
That'd be a lot of podcasts. That might be too much.
I think there are probably millions at this point.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of great ones out there. This is probably the best one out of all of them, I would say. Many people are saying that actually. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, we're there, James. We're everywhere. We're in your walls. Like, we're literally in your computer right now. I am plugged into all the computers. I'm going to start making up conspiracy theories about myself, about how I am in the Illuminati and I'm controlling everything. James is also the president of the Illuminati. He runs like a shadow government right now. It's the second life. I'm sorry, James.
I mean, it was bound to come out at some point.
Yeah. For more conspiracy theories, follow us. We also do Rowdy's content sometimes.
Yes, sometimes. But thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We always appreciate when you do. And we will see you next week, hopefully with 2 more wins and 6 more points in the bag for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. In the meantime, come on, you Rowdies.
Don Garber faked the moon landing.
'Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.